Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We make our beginning this morning as we start worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We take just a few moments now for silent reflection. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Create in us pure hearts, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within everyone in this place. Restore to your people at peace the joy of your salvation, and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. It is because of your Son, Jesus, that we are forgiven and saved.
Amen.
Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain.
The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles."
The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them.
He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain."
I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father.
Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery."
Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling.
Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Testament lesson this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, You are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in the matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, You are my son, today I have become your father. And he says in another place, You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we continue our sermon series of Jesus in the Psalms as we look at portions of Psalm 2. Well, Jesus' testimony as the Son of God is found in Luke chapter 22, verse 70. They all ask, Are you then the Son of God? He replied, You say that I am. Well, Jesus says, You say that I am to make the testimony legal, because there has to be two witnesses. So Jesus calls upon the entire Sanhedrin also to be a witness that he is the very Son of God. By using you in the testimony, we see is that the Sanhedrin recognize that they are witnesses, and they reject this by saying, Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. So how do we as the church take the words of Jesus as the Son of God and apply it to our faith and our reason as we express our faith in Jesus Christ? What exactly is our faith statement that Jesus is the Son of God? So this morning I'm probably going to tell you more than you wanted to know. So let's begin at Genesis to explain the concept of Jesus, the Son of God. In Genesis 1:26, it reads, Then God said, Let us, notice plural, make mankind in our plural image, in our plural likeness. Note the three references of plurality. In the Arianic blessing, we also have a threefold blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Also in Genesis chapter 11, when God sees that the people are building this tower to heaven, called the Tower of Babel, in verse 7 it says, Come, let us, plural, go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. So we are given a hint in Genesis that God is unique and special. So we have one God also in three persons. Continuing in chapter 1, verse 27, remember in verse 26, we saw the plurality of God. In verse 27, we see the singularity of God. 127 reads, "So God created mankind in His," notice singular, "own image. In the image of God, He," singular, "created them. Male, He," singular, "created them." Note the three references of singularity as well as the three reference of plurality. So, what is God? Is He one? Is He three? How does all this stuff work? So, we also have some additional testimony found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Okay, so we have one God, and now we have three persons. So basically, we talk about the Trinity, one God in three persons. We worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. That's found in the Athanasian Creed. So this morning, congregation, I'd like to invite you to be part of the sermon as we read responsively a portion of the Athanasian Creed. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord,
so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
So a little reference here. When you see Catholic in a small c, that means universal. It doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church. And finally, in the Athanasian Creed, the Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
So from Psalm 2, as we look at Jesus in the Psalms, it reads, "Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee." I use the King James Version because in the NIV it says, "I have become your Father." But really, the word is monogenes, which means only begotten, unique in kind. And we also talk about a filial relationship as well, as Father to Son, eternally begotten. So Psalm 2 is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 as well. This eternal generation of Christ by the Father is the outstanding proof of Christ's deity. Begotten is the eternal term of relationship between Father and Son. Johann Gerhard, Lutheran theologian in the early 1600s, said this, "Therefore and therefrom the Son is true God, because the Father through the eternal generation imparts His divine essence to the Son." In other words, this is what is written as well. The church fathers were arguing that the Son was never created. He is the only begotten of the Father, eternally begotten, meaning He originates with the Father, but not in a sense where He once didn't exist. So Christ, as the Son, has an eternal relationship with the Father of begetting. But we also see is that Jesus Christ has the same substance as the Father as well from the Nicene Creed, which is documented in 325 A.D. One substance with the Father, and that term is homoousios, which means same essence. Not a similar essence, but the same essence. In John 14:11, Jesus says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me," or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So when we describe a child looking like his father or his mother, the child has the same substance, if you will, the same genetic makeup with father and mother. And there are tests today to prove that you belong to your father and mother genetically. So homoousios is used to affirm that the father and Jesus are of the same substance and not similar substance. If Jesus were a similar substance, he would be a lesser God, or he would be created, not begotten. So Jesus spoke many times of him being in the Father and the Father being in him. So once again, we're talking about an eternal relationship. So as we see Jesus in the Psalms, in Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2, which this is quoted in Acts chapter 4, 25. So the disciples also see Jesus in the Psalms in reference to what they were going through and what Jesus went through. So Psalm 2, 1 and 2 says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed." So as I said, we find Jesus in the Psalms. When the disciples saw this, they recognize that Jesus was before Pilate and Herod. So why do the kings of the earth rise up against and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed? Well, the disciples were facing this kind of pushback, if you will, from the Sanhedrin after they had healed a man. And so they were told not to speak of Jesus again. But here we see is that they said, we cannot disobey God because we have to obey God rather than mankind. So Jesus is in the Psalms. So we recognize today that people also rebel against Jesus. His name is not to be mentioned in graduation ceremonies. A player is not to mention the name of Jesus Christ after a win in a football game. A prayer should not have the name of Jesus in school or public. The people still plot in vain to stop the words of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says this, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestor many times and in many ways through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God, God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for the sins of all mankind, he sat down in heaven at the right side of God, the supreme power." So Jesus, as the Son of God, is the one who died and rose again. By his rising from the dead, he proves that he is life. He has life in himself. He lays down his life and he takes it up again. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one God chose as his Son. And Jesus is eternally begotten from the Father. That's the relationship of Father and Son, just as we as humans have an infinite relationship, if you will, with our parents, that we were once begotten, but not begotten for all of our days of our lives, but there was a one-time birth. But Jesus is begotten of the Father for all eternity. It's a relationship that we cannot understand, but we also talk about Jesus is of the same essence of the Father as well as the Holy Spirit. So this is how we explain the Trinity. One God, three persons, which we explored in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, and also Deuteronomy chapter 6. So when we look at Jesus, he is sustaining the universe by the power of his word. So many times we try to bring Jesus down to our level and say, God, if you can do this, you know, make it happen. You know, be my, if you will, my Santa Claus to make all these things happen. But Jesus sustains the universe. And we try to bring him down to our size, what we can imagine. And God's not like that. Our God is a God of love who died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He has come to set us free from our sins to be our Savior for eternity as God's one and only Son. So today we celebrate Father's Day. Some of you may remember Irma Bombeck. She wrote 15 books. She was a humorist back in between the 1960s to the early 1990s. And she writes this about fathers. One morning, my father didn't get up to go to work. He went to the hospital, and the next day, he died. I hadn't thought much about him before. He was just someone who left and came home and seemed to be glad that everyone was there at night. He opened the jar of pickles when no one else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go down into the basement. When he cut himself shaving, no one kissed it or got excited about it. It was understood that when it rained, he would be the one to go out and get the car as well. When anyone was sick, it was his responsibility to go and to get the prescription. He took lots of pictures, but he was hardly ever in any of our pictures. When I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do, but I never knew what the daddy doll was supposed to do. I only said, he's going off to work. So I threw him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room, and there were a lot of people who came and brought all kinds of food and cakes. We had never had so much company ever before, so I went into my bedroom and felt under my bed for the daddy doll. When I found him, I dusted him off and put him on my bed. He never did anything. I didn't know his leaving would hurt so much. Irma Bombeck tells the story, and many times we as a family really don't know what a dad does. But hopefully what a dad does is to share his faith with his family. What a dad does is show his love as our Heavenly Father has shown his love by sending his Son. Hopefully a father will share the message of salvation, not only within his family, but within his network of friends. So on this day, as we see Jesus in the Psalms, we celebrate the Son of God. And all God's children say, Amen.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Good and gracious God, we thank you this morning for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who truly is our Savior. Lord, we ask you to continue to fill us with the joy of his salvation every day. Help us to celebrate that salvation. Help us to share it with everyone that we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we ask you to continue to be with our country. Lord, as it is a time of division right now, Lord, that you would continue to be with all of the people. Lord, that you would take care of us, that you would give us good government, that they would continue to lead well. Lord, that you would give them wisdom and insight as they make decisions. Lord, be with the people, though. Help us to continue to work together to show your love and grace to everyone that we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we ask you to be with all those who are in need of your healing touch in their mind, their body, and in their souls. Lord, we bring all those names that are on our hearts and our minds to you. You know exactly what each of these folks need. Bring that healing power into their lives according to your will and your time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for the many blessings in life. And Lord, especially this week, we give thanks for all the birthdays and the anniversaries that we celebrate. We give thanks for all the many opportunities in life that we do have those great moments. Lord, help us to enjoy those moments. Help us to continue to live and to serve as we have years and of life and anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And good and gracious God, we continue to pray for Pastor Phil and his family as they consider the call to serve here as the senior pastor of Peace Lutheran Church. Lord, be with him as he deliberates. Help to show him your will for his life and for his ministry and for his family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things we lift to you through the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in that name that we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We hear our blessing as we go out this week. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.